Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much, Dermot. Good afternoon on this fresh Friday afternoon. I hope you're well. If you want to contact the programme, 51551 for your texts, or you can send us an email to ray@rte.ie. We have a lovely Friday afternoon show in store for you today. Yes, we do. Serena Terry, who wrote the book The Secret Life of an Uncool Mum, and came to millions of people's attention through her TikTok activity and her alter ego, Mammy Banter, of sorts, has a new book called The Shite Before Christmas. Can you say that on the radio? Sorry, it's done there. And Serena Terry is sitting outside and she's ready to talk to us in about a quarter of an hour time. Looking forward to that. We've live music from Wallace Bird. She's over in Studio 8. She's currently touring the country. She was in Limerick last night. She's in Whelan's tonight. And she's taken time out from her very busy schedule to come into us and perform two live songs. Looking forward to that. And then music of a recorded type after 4 o'clock, because we're having a disco of sorts with DJ Jenny Green. She's bringing her lockdown rave cave to Vicar Street. More about that later on. And while we're in Vicar Street and talking about music, congratulations to everyone who picked up a gong at the Folk Awards last night. Well done to Mary Black, who received a Lifetime Achievement Award. And we've been playing the Best Original Folk Track nominees. And the eventual winner was Susan O'Neill. And now you see it. So congratulations to Susan.
You were the ray light flashing on the seabound airplane. You were the last refrain. We were the love.
Real talent, Susan O'Neill. And congratulations to concertina player Cormac Begley, who won the Best Folk Instrumentalist Award. Ye Vagabonds won the Best Folk Album Award with 9 Waves. And well done to everybody who won last night. That's great. Now, I don't know if you have a dog or a cat or whatever, but we're all convinced that we have a special relationship with our pets, you know, that we can communicate with them and they can communicate with us. It might be a look. It might be a way they rub up against your leg, whatever. You know, they sort of talk to us. But there are super pets who can really do it. They can. They nearly sound human. Have a listen to this dog. Her name is Lorna. Ah, hello, Lorna. So the video has gone viral. And the reason it's gone viral is because people have spotted a sound-alike. They reckon that Lorna sounds like a character from a movie. I'll play Lorna for you again. And then I'll play you Mrs. Doubtfire.
Hello!
Ha-ha! See?
Hello!
Ah, that's brilliant. Other sound-alike of sorts. Brian Cox and Brian Cox. One of them is a famous actor who stars in Succession as Rogan. Is it Logan Roy? Logan Roy, as opposed to Rogan Loy. And the other is Professor Brian Cox, the man who knows everything about everything. And they were on BBC Breakfast this morning and they were talking about the confusion being famous and having the same name. Let's have a listen.
Sharing a name can be a bit confusing.
Well, I'll tell you, well, last night was very confusing.
Go on,
because
then.
Brian arrived at the hotel and said, there are two Brian Coxes, so you've got two rooms. And he said, no, no, there's only one. I think there might be another Brian Cox. And the hotel said to Brian, we can't have two Brian Coxes.
They wouldn't check me in.
They wouldn't check him in.
Oh, you were kind of outlawed.
So you had to use his assistant's name.
Yeah, I had to change my name. They couldn't do it on the computer system. They didn't believe me. And I got a picture out on my phone and said, look, this Brian Cox, he'll be coming later, and there's this one. And he said, I know neither of you. I don't watch television.
Oh, that's great. They'll have to put an initial in the middle, won't they? The younger Brian Cox will have to be Brian L. Cox. I don't know what his middle name is, but Brian R. Cox, just to stop the confusion. And they went on and they were talking about getting into a taxi, and Brian Cox, the actor, Brian Cox, the professor, says, I love Succession. I don't like the astronomy stuff, he would say, just to confuse the driver. And then sometimes they meet the Brian Cox, the actor, and to say we prefer the professor, and all sorts of confusion goes on. Now, where are we at? It's the 18th of November. So, yes, it is fast approaching. And Jen, who works on the show, this is hard to believe. I don't know what age Jen is, but she is an adult. And last night she had her very first mince pie ever in her life. And we asked her, why did you not have a mince pie before this? And she says that as a child, she always imagined that it was mince, you know, as in mince meat in a pie. It was like the time Rachel and friends made the trifle and managed to mix the shepherd's pie into it. So she thought there was some sort of savoury thing going on. So she never went near the mince pies at Christmas. And her review of the mince pie, as if the mince pie world would be affected by it, she says, thankfully, I was wrong and it was surprisingly nice. No mince or peas, just raisins. It's opened up a whole new confectionery world to me this Christmas. I'm always curious as to what people haven't eaten. And, you know, if you could find three people who haven't eaten common stuff and then we could get them in and get them to eat them for the first time on air, that's the type of stuff I want. We did it before years ago. I can't remember what the foodstuffs were. Yeah, but as Christmas approaches, of course, we'll all be considering Christmas movies. I would think it's too early to watch a Christmas movie the 18th of November, but upstairs they said the 1st of November. You can watch a Christmas movie from the 1st of November, and there are lists a go-go of the top 50 Christmas movies for Netflix, for Sky, all sorts of streaming services. And Elf is the one, isn't it? For me, anyway, with Will Ferrell, Elf is the one that just gets Christmas going. If you're feeling a bit un-Christmassy when it comes to December or even the 8th of December or whenever you start Christmas, if you need an injection, you know, sort of a kickstart, Elf is the one. And there are loads of good ones, and everyone has their favourite. I see Will Ferrell is in a new Christmas movie, which is another variation of the Dickens story of Christmas Carol. There's been so many of those animated. There's been a Muppets one, there's been the... Wasn't there a Mac Duck Scrooge or Mac Scrooge Duck or whatever? And then there was the one Scrooged. And then there was there was loads of them over the years. Anyway, the most recent one, which will be hitting the Apple TV, Apple Plus soon, is Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds, a variation on the Scrooge story. And well done to Paul Mescal. His latest film, After Sun, has got 5 stars in all the papers this morning and rave reviews. One reviewer said that Paul Mescal was frighteningly good. The Guardian said he's excellent. So could this be, not this year, obviously, because it's too late, but it could be an Oscar nomination for him next year. He plays the dad of an 11-year-old on holidays in Turkey. And that's the sort of very short version of the plot. After Sun is the name of it. Can't wait to see that. And he was the man, of course, that made O'Neill Shorts famous. And there was a great tweet doing the rounds. And this is sound advice, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're abroad and you're feeling homesick, you know, like a lot of people have to work abroad now in Canada and London and Australia. And there was a tweet doing the rounds. If you're Irish abroad and feeling homesick, I'd recommend just going out for a run or a walk in a GAA jersey. Now, you could do the whole thing and wear the O'Neill shorts as well. We are everywhere. So you're guaranteed to encounter another abnormally large-headed individual that will give you a nod and a wry smile. So that's that. And still on movies, Disenchanted is landing tonight. And I don't know if you have children of a certain age, but Enchanted was released in 2007. It was one of those ones. It was just brilliant. Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey, James Marsden, Maya Rudolph is the new one. Idina Menzel is back again for this one as well. And the reason it's of interest to us is because a lot of it was shot in Enniskerry. Remember during the summer, earlier in the year, when there was loads of hoo-ha about them creating a little village up in Enniskerry? Well, that's where it was shot. And you can see the results of that on Disney Plus tonight. I'm in stitches here with that dog. Will you play it again? It's up to Lorna. Lorna, hello, Lorna. Hello, Lorna. I do hope that Disenchanted is good, because you know the thing about sequels, they're dodgy, aren't they? Like, most sequels aren't as good as the original. And like, it's even in a song. When the Muppets came up with Most Wanted, they opened it with a song about sequels.
We're doing a sequel. That's what we do in Hollywood. And everybody knows that the sequel's never quite as good.
A sequel, another feature attraction.
Places, please. Light the lights. Roll camera. Action!
Oh, stop the presses, because there was a world record broken today in Ireland. The Harrell School in Glasdoole, County Dublin, has smashed the world record for the most Christmas crackers pulled simultaneously. And on the line is the principal of the Harrell School in Glasdoole, Dervla Vic Vahuna.
Hi Ray, how are you?
Congratulations.
We are over the moon. It was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. What a day.
How many?
1,703.
My word.
So the previous record was 1,081 in 2015 in the UK. So we absolutely smashed. It was just the most amazing experience to be on the field with all of our children. And we had loads of boys and girls that came from all the local secondary schools as well. So big thank you to them and all of our parents and our teams, our staff, community, everything. It was amazing.
A great energy. I have the countdown, I think, here. We'll just play a bit of that. Here's the countdown out in the Harrell School in Glasdoole before they started their world record. So what was it? Was there a time on it or just the number?
Say that again to me?
Was there a time limit on it or was it just the number of crackers?
It was the number of crackers that we had to pull to break the record. It's the most people pulling a cracker in a cracker chain.
Right.
So we broke that by quite a lot, actually. So we're thrilled. But just such an amazing event because, you know yourself, the last few years have been quite difficult for everybody. So it was about our school community getting out there and, I suppose, meeting everybody, our parents, our grandparents, our boys and girls that have gone on to the secondary schools and just being on the field with everybody and then doing this remarkable event and fundraising as well for the school.
And you had a lovely morning for it.
I don't know what happened there. Somebody loves us. The sun was shining down on us and we've been watching the weather forecast for the last few days. But I'm telling you, people have been on that field and people have been driving around the country picking up screens and everything since 4:30 this morning. So it was just an amazing experience that for the last few weeks in our school we have been working towards this, so it's just fantastic.
Because did you make all the crackers yourselves?
We did. Wow. We did indeed. We made over 3,000 crackers. So look, we have a green committee, or we have pupils in our green committee at the school, and what happened was it was really important to everybody on the events team and our parents that everything that we did was going to be recyclable and sustainable. And I suppose it's about teaching children about that. So that everything from the insert, so the little, we had children there who were just going around collecting the toilet roll.
Oh, yes.
And the tissue paper and the string and the bangers. Yeah. Everything was recyclable.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was just so amazing.
And it's all for charity as well, Dervla.
It is for fundraising for our school. So
right.
We're like every other school in the country. Do you know what? We have to do a bit of fundraising every year. But this is all about the children and it's about giving back to the children and it's about involving the children. So every single child in our school was involved in it and then every single child in the school is going to benefit from it as well. So look, we've raised 23,500 so far. And I think we're going to smash 40,000, I think, between our community sponsors as well.
That's brilliant. And you have it all on video, I presume.
We have it all on video, yeah. And then we also had our local Garda Angela there.
He has to be
but
there
we
as
had
well.
We were counting everybody coming through. We had these people recording through with clickers.
Okay.
And that was being recorded as all of our own children and the local secondary schools and our parents and everybody came through. And then we had the massive countdown and sure we had the local radio and everything there. So it was amazing. And I just want to say a fantastic thank you to all of our incredible pupils because we have incredible pupils and incredible parents and we could not have done this without all of those people and our staff as well. We've been all working together on this for weeks. The team have been working on it since July. So it was just such a massive event for us and we're so delighted it went so well.
Brilliant. Now, a couple of things, because I know they're sticklers for detail.
Yes.
They didn't have a person on the ground. You have to send them all the evidence.
We have to send them all the evidence.
Okay.
That's not a problem.
That's not a problem.
We have all the video. You're
happy with
that.
That's brilliant. Okay.
Yeah.
And then was there, after all the cheers and we've done it, did you say, no homework for the weekend?
We never have homework.
Oh, do you not? All right.
Well, look, I tell you what, I'm sure it's going to be good news on Monday.
Right. Well, they've heard you now, so they'll be looking out for that.
I can't go back on that now.
So no homework on Monday, you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, congratulations to everybody in the Harrell School.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Dervla. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye. 5 on 551, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Now, earlier this week, we spoke to Siobhan Doyle And Siobhan is the author of A History of the GAA in 100 Objects. And in the introduction to that, she talks about her grandfather, John Lonergan, who was a big name in Kilkenny GAA circles. And after he died, they introduced a shield, you know, a trophy in his name. And when Siobhan was on Tuesday, we were just saying it'd be great if Siobhan could get her hands on that, the shield that was put together in memory of her late grandfather. And Siobhan said, OK, I'll say it, but I wouldn't hold out much hope. Hello, Siobhan.
Hello, Ray.
The power of radio.
I know, I'm telling you, the Ray Darcy, you're like the St. Anthony of radio. Just all lost things just turn up. Your listeners are brilliant.
Yeah, well, we've a bit of history there, particularly on a Friday. So you put out the call and you got a call last night, was it?
I did, late last night. Well, first of all, my mother got a call on the landline to say, was that your daughter now on the radio?
Right.
I think I know someone that might be able to help track down the shields.
Mm.
So I got a call last night from a man in Kilkenny that knows where the shield is, and it's still in circulation, which I can't believe. It was first played for in 1969 when my grandfather died. A year after he died, it was first played for in the Junior Hurling Championship in Kilkenny.
Mm.
And it was last won in 2017. So I can't believe that it's still going. I can't believe that your listeners once again have
come up trumps. Yes.
Yeah, they're superstars. And also, Ireland is way too small. It's perfect.
Minuscule. It's minuscule.
Yeah, it's perfect for these types of stories. And I'm just so heartened by the goodwill of people. You know, when they hear something and hear a story, they'll always just do as much as they can and run around for you to try and help in whatever way. So I was on the phone late last night, and sure, I didn't get a wink of sleep after I was bawling crying.
Will you be able to get your hands on it?
I'll be down home next weekend, so I'm hoping to take a trip to Kilkenny in the hope of viewing the plaque. Like I said, during the week, we don't have anything belong to my grandfather. You know, they were a very poor family growing up, so, you know, there was no material possessions, nothing to hand down, anything like that. So it's incredibly meaningful that that the shield is still around and that we'll have the opportunity to have
a look. That's lovely.
Just thanks to you and the listeners.
And just a poignant note, because the call you got was from a person in Mooncoin, and Mooncoin is in the news this week because that's the home place of the late Vicky Phelan. But anyway, she's still in our thoughts, obviously, and everything we do this week is dedicated to the memory of Vicky Phelan. Siobhan, I'm glad we could be of assistance, and anything else you need, just give us a call.
Anytime I'm stuck, I'll just give you a ring. Yeah, no bother.
Good luck, Siobhan Doyle. Thank you very much. See you now. Bye. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at RTE.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Derry woman Serena Terry, took to the internet by storm during lockdown with her down-to-earth, unfiltered take on family life, gaining more than 2 million followers and 35 million views across social media platforms with her Mammy Banter skits. Her first book, Mammy Banter, The Secret Life of an Uncool Mum, was a Sunday Times bestseller, and now she's back with a new book, The Shite Before Christmas, which follows Tara and the rest of the Gallagher family as they prepare to deal with the festive season. And Serena joins me in studio. Hello, Serena.
Hello, you said shite.
You said shite.
No, you said shite. You said it first. I'm not complaining. Nobody in the North lets me say it. They're like, it rhymes with white before Christmas.
But it's the other one that's offensive, I think.
Which one?
Without the E.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes, I think that's more offensive.
Okay.
I think you're allowed to say... Yeah, I've said it in the past. You know, when you're out, I don't know if you have a dog. Do you have a dog?
No.
Well, you see, if you have a dog and they do a poo.
Yeah.
And then you have to pick it up in a bag.
Aye.
And then if there's no bin, you're walking around with a bag of shite. Like, that's not nice.
That's not nice.
Okay.
No, that's
congratulations
not nice.
On the
Thank
book.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And you've a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old, Alfie and Ava. And what do they think of the name of the book?
Oh, Alfie loves it.
Does he?
He absolutely loves it because he can say it and he's allowed to say it.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Ava's a teenager, so she's just repulsed by anything I do right now. But sure, what can we do?
As is Gemma in the book.
Yes.
Now, we'll talk about the book in a moment, but this has been a mad 3 years for you, Serena.
Mad. Mad. Unbelievable.
Like, so 2019 was a very tough year for you and your family.
Yeah. I lost two of my brothers. They were twins, Daniel and Patrick, in 2019, 8 weeks apart, unfortunately. Patrick died of liver cancer, and 8 weeks later, his twin Daniel died due to alcohol and mental health issues. So when the pandemic hit, it kind of hit at that time, they call it the peak of grief. It's like the 6 months time after a death. So that was not fun.
No.
No, it was not fun.
I imagine it's like I've been hit by a bus. And then, as you say, lockdown happened. So you're not allowed to grieve in the normal way.
Yeah, you can't run away from it.
No.
Because that's what I would be used to doing. I think we all do that. We keep ourselves busy to kind of run away from any kind of low feelings or mood, and especially grief, you keep busy, and not being able to do that was so, so hard. So hard for me personally. I already was suffering with anxiety. I'm on medication for anxiety. I talk about it quite a lot over social media. I'm trying to just kind of normalize it and weave it on there. It's in the book.
Yeah.
Tara has anxiety. So that coupled with grief and then lockdown, it left me a shadow of myself. Now, at the time, I was working 60, 70 hours a week.
As what?
Chief operations officer for a software company.
Right.
So my career's completely
different. Yeah.
Completely changed. But one thing I would say is grief allowed me to prioritise what's important. And my happiness definitely was prioritised, because when I started making TikTok videos, I felt as if I'd found a bit of my identity again.
But why did you start making TikTok videos?
It was just out of silliness. Everybody was doing it the same way. Everybody was having a bottle of wine every night because there was no school run the next day. It was for a bit of crack. I had deleted all my social media. I was fed up of seeing people on Instagram making banana bread and doing reward charts for their kids. I was like, my kids are going back to school, stupider. Why are all these people talking about how good they're doing at homeschooling and then renting gym equipment and out the back? I had put on about 2 stone in the first 2 weeks. I couldn't cope. And then everything that I was seeing was just fueling any insecurities that I had. And already being at that low point.
Yes.
Of grief, I was just like, I am in control of this, because that's the best advice I've ever got around anxiety or mental health. Figure out what you're in control of. And the one big thing for me, any kind of triggers on my anxiety or how good a parent I was or how I was providing for my kids or how I was doing as an employee or a wife or a friend, it was social media. So I deleted it. But then I was really, really bored. Even though I was working 6 days a week and I had two kids, I was like, am I going to have to start talking to my husband now at night time?
How are you, Mark?
Hi, Mark. But no, it was that thing of procrastination. And during lockdown, social media was the place we were going to just, you know, that scroll of doom.
But like, you were aware that TikTok existed. Was Ava on TikTok?
Ava was on it.
Right.
And she had showed me so many videos before and they were funny, but I just assumed that they were just flash in the pan. The rest of the app was made up of these silly teenagers dancing. I thought that was the premise of it until I downloaded it one night.
And you then started channeling your sort of dysfunctional motherhood in a way. This character, this alter ego.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much dysfunctional. It was the opposite of what I was seeing on social media at the time. Which
the curated, sort of perfect,
airbrushed kind of perception of what we think we need to portray ourselves as on social media. I went the opposite. And it was like therapy. It was actually like therapy, because there were so many people responding and commenting and engaging, saying, oh my God, I'm not alone. Yeah. I'm like that too. So that for me was like, well, I don't feel so alone now. And I had been scrolling for hours the first night I downloaded it, and it was people our age who were losing their shite. I can say it because it's not offensive. It's the only one.
That's my opinion. I don't
know. You'll never be back.
Yes. Me or you?
Me. Both of us. Who were just losing it, but they were being honest about it.
Yeah.
And they were laughing about it. And they were kind of poking fun at themselves. And it was very much a time of, if we don't laugh, we'll cry. And that is how it started. And I kept that as the ethos. And it has seemed to resonate with so many people, which feels like a superpower.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But laughter is a superpower.
Oh, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Daniel was a comedian.
He was. He was a stand-up comedian.
Yeah. So there's a funny gene in the family.
There definitely is. There's a funny gene in there. But it wasn't something I ever thought I was going to kind of have a career in. I locked myself in after university to that corporate world and the rat race, thinking that that's, again, I don't know if it was society or me putting that pressure on myself, saying, I have to climb the corporate ladder. Mm. I've got kids now. I've got a mortgage. To stop messing about, get serious. And I think that's why whenever I started doing these videos, I was like, I remember this person. You know, as a way to express.
A fun person.
The fun person. Again, putting that pressure on ourselves that as we grow up and we have children and we have jobs, we have to stop being fun.
That's ridiculous, though.
It's mad.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Because it, like, you're still Serena Terry.
Yes, you are still yourself, but that's what I mean. I didn't realise that I was just kind of losing my identity. I don't know why, but I found it again.
But you tapped into it. And it was like, it was a brutal perfect storm, wasn't it? The death of your two brothers and then COVID that knocked you into this. It sort of knocked you out of your norm and into something different. And that's, you're sitting in front of me now, your second book.
You know.
2 million followers.
You know.
Like Mammy Banter. Brilliant. Yeah. I really love the Shout Before Christmas because it's laugh out loud. It's really well written.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I recognise the people in it. That's a good sign, isn't it?
That's a really good sign.
Yes,
you have to be able to relate to all the characters. Hopefully you don't relate to the 2-year-old who's potty training, but other characters.
We've had two 2-year-olds at one stage that were potty training, so yes, I suppose I can.
You remember that.
Yeah. So how do you feel now? Have you had time to sort of reflect on what has happened over the last 3 years to you?
I really haven't. It still all feels like a blur. It is coming to the stage where I'm like, I think I need some downtime to.
Because you have to mind yourself, yeah.
Yeah, just regroup as well. So I made the decision to leave my corporate job, which I was on a great salary at a company, Kiar. It was security. But I was like, I still need to provide for my family here. I still have a mortgage, you know. Being a content creator, you don't earn much money unless you want to sell your soul to the advertising gods and push products every day of the week. I didn't want to do that. As an author, no brainer, you don't make that much money either. So for me, it was always that kind of, well, what am I going to do? But because I'd gone through that grief and because I lost my brothers when they were so young, I was like, life's too short. Try it.
Yeah.
See what happens. You can always go back to that corporate life. Nobody's going to take away your degree. You can go back to that, which is keeping me right for now. But obviously, if it gets to the stage...
I don't think you'll be going back to the corporate world somewhere now.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And Derry, like, you know, Lisa McGee obviously has to be mentioned.
Yeah, of course.
And you've met her and you had a lovely little cameo in Derry Girls.
I did. All hail Lisa McGee, the queen of Derry. And not just that cameo. Derry Girls has given me such a leg up globally because it's such a global phenomenon. Like, I still can't believe people in America and Canada and Australia can understand what I'm saying. People in Dublin today couldn't understand what I was saying.
But there's words there. I know you've had glossary at the back, but not all words include a boke.
Boke, vomit.
I've never heard that before.
You've never heard your boke?
No.
Oh my God. That's a staple dairy word.
Is it?
Boke, yeah.
Boke, right. And I circled a few of them there as I was going through it, just to get your, He is pure lured with himself.
Lured. Yeah. Pure lured, it means he's ecstatic. He's really happy.
Right, pure lured. I sort of figured that out, in fairness. Okay. And on the same page, coincidentally, after a shower and a quick disco nap.
It's just a wee speedy nap.
All right.
Just like disco? 40 minutes.
Where does disco come into? Just, you don't know.
It's just like, you know, have you ever gone on a night out and kind of came home and had a wee sleep and got back up and went out again?
Oh, that's the disco nap.
It's a disco nap.
Uh-huh, right. And the troubles obviously shape the humour.
They do.
Yeah, because there's a darkness to it, isn't there?
There is. Of course there is. And I think that's what Lisa McGee portrayed so brilliantly in Derry Girls. Absolutely amazing. And loads of people ask me that question, which I'm sure they ask her. Why is there so much of this kind of dark humour in Derry? And it is. It's generational. It's based on, you know, what we've grown up with, our parents, what they've grown up with. And we are a very resilient community of people who, again, like lockdown, had learned to kind of laugh or we'd cry.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting that you and Lisa are both women. I've noticed that.
Thanks for noticing.
But finally, it's come out through women, if you know what I mean.
And yes. I know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know why that is, but I'm sure men
there's
from the North
something.
Have been trying for years and haven't got the success.
I think for Lisa as well, because it was more about the history of Derry, she brought on this fictional storyline of the five kids and their families. It wasn't all directed at the Troubles.
Yeah.
What I kind of pride myself a bit on is the fact that none of my TikToks are about sectarianism or the Troubles. Yeah. I never wanted to just be that token comedy creator or comedian or writer who every second joke is about Protestants versus Catholics.
Yeah. Well, the jokes in The Shite Before Christmas are around pregnancy, because Tara, the main character, is 8 months pregnant.
She is.
And everything that goes with it.
Uh-huh, lover.
Incontinence.
Uh-huh, she is.
And she can't drink. And
she can't drink. She's off her medication too for anxiety.
Yes, yeah.
And it's 8 weeks to Christmas. It's in the run-up to Christmas, and the trouble and the pressure and the stress that comes with that. She's also potty training her youngest.
And paranoid.
She's very paranoid. She has a tendency to catastrophize a bit.
Right.
And she's quite vulnerable, so it adds to the mania in the run-up to Christmas. And it doesn't help that her husband's a bit distant.
Mm.
But why?
You have to read the book.
But you didn't figure it out. I'm delighted you didn't guess it right.
Well, you know, I knew there has to be it, you know.
I know.
I'm not stupid.
I know you're not stupid, but come on, humour me, Ray.
Yes, yes.
I sent you down the garden path.
Yes, yeah. No, I was picking out one of your mates.
Okay.
I'm not giving too much away, but I was picking out one of your mates, and then, well, anyway, you have to read it. Do you worry, because Christmas is in the title, that you have a small window of opportunity?
I do. But the fact that it is a sequel and a follow-up to The Secret Life of an Uncool Mom, and the way it ends, you'll know yourself, you read it, opens it up to that third book.
Yes.
So,
which you've signed a contract to write, have you?
I can't say anything.
Yes, I'll take that as a yes.
So the fact that it's sandwiched into that series aspect, it did worry me at the start. But the reaction so far, again, about people going, you know, what's coming next? What's going to happen next with the Gallagher? So it's taken the stress off me in that sense.
And you can see it. Now, with a lot of books, you can see it and nothing ever happens. But I'm sure there's been whispers already about a TV adaptation.
Yeah. Right. There's been mumblings and whispers and conversations
from Lisa McGee?
She actually, I messaged her last month and was like, Lisa, I need help. I'm a bit over my head here. There's so many people reaching out. The issue I have is that the conversations that are going on at the minute are in America. And, you know, they're asking the question, if we were to transfer this to America. Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I want to keep it local.
Yes.
I want to keep it local. It needs to be localised for the humour to land.
Pure lured.
Pure lured.
Pure lured.
And he boked.
He boked.
And he boked.
He was so pure lured himself that he boked.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
None at all.
No. Love Mammy Banter. Could listen to Serena all day. Tell her to keep it up. She normalises daily life for us, says Marie. And I love Mammy Banter. Can't wait to get the book, says somebody else. And she's just a howl. Always brings me to tears. Laughing so much. Keep it up, says Lorraine. Love Serena so much. Polly and Laura listening in the car on the way to drama.
Oh, hey, Polly and Laura. Everybody's so lovely.
Aren't
That's
they?
Why it feels like a superpower to me. This is what has me hooked. You know,
it's this lovely thing that's happening that. And it's not finally, because it's a slow, gradual process, but more and more women are having a voice. Like, I'm thinking Lisa McGee, Sharon Horgan, that brilliant stuff, where women are coming front and centre and they can talk about women's issues and be funny and like, you know, and they weren't allowed to do that.
No, we weren't.
No.
We weren't. And I actually mentioned that in the book, if you noticed.
Yeah, I did. And can I just say, it's great for men as well, because we get a window into your world and a greater understanding.
Great. So you're telling me I could be a marriage therapist as well.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know when to quote, you know, bits of your book to my wife, but leave that with me. For the moment, The Shite Before Christmas is in bookshops. Serena Terry, congratulations again.
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we have, or I have sprinted down to Studio 8. I'm in the company of Wallace Bird and her band. Ooh. Hello! Hey, yo! Usually you're on your own.
Yeah, usually. For the last couple of years, I have been on my own doing this show called A One Woman Show, but now I have, like, the best band that I could have found in the whole world.
Alma?
Alma Kelleher.
Cuiva?
Cuiva de Barra.
On drums, you're supposed to do the other thing that you do when you're introduced. Just give it a... There you go. And Leo.
Leo Geisler, yeah.
Leo Geisler. So you picked up Leo in Germany?
Yes, yeah. We played together in Berlin, and Cuiva has since also moved over, and Alma will be over there in 10 minutes, whether you want it or not.
And you've been touring. How many days have you done?
So we're heading day 60 now, but we've done 45 shows. It's been exciting.
That's a lot of singing, yeah. A lot of songs.
It is. It surely is. And we're still not sick of each other. And it's been absolutely fulfilling, a kind of a dream come true for me, to be honest.
Is there a little bit more pressure on you when you have the band with you because they have to know what you're doing?
I feel sorry for you because there is a lot of working, and I thought it was pretty easy going, but I keep everybody on their toes, I think.
Yeah.
I make a lot of changes during the show, so no show is ever the same, even though the songs, you know, they just develop on stage, really.
Great. Yeah. Now, I've just remembered we have to get two songs in. So we'll go, see what I've done there? We'll go to the first song first, which is called...
Go.
Great.
All right.
That was nice. That was lovely, yeah.
Yeah!
Your guitar is well-worn.
Oh, it's well-worn.
Yeah.
There's a hole developing in it.
Are you fearful that if you change it, your sound will change?
Well, I guess so. I mean, they all sound so radically different, but this one is my favourite. Yeah. This is the baby.
Right. How many have you got?
I have a few now at this stage. It's a bit ridiculous to say. I think I have like 7 guitars.
All right, okay. Now, tell me about Dr. James Barry.
Dr. James Barry, well, I'm learning at the moment, but Dr. James Barry was an incredible person, lived a full life and became the head of surgeons in the Royal Hospital. It was they were the personal surgeon to Queen Victoria, as far as I know. I'm still learning, Ray. And so Dr. James Barry lived their whole life until finally when they passed away and they had surgery, it was discovered that Dr. James Barry was a woman. So I'm currently writing a song about this person. I think we're talking like 1820, something like that.
So they had to hide their gender because it was a male-dominated world.
Yeah, they couldn't become a surgeon, and they had shown huge aptitude, massive skill at a very, like, an extremely young age, I think 16, something like that, left school, and changed their life completely so that they could study medicine and surgery. As far as I believe, I hope that I'm not misquoting, but they performed some of the first cesarean sections ever. They were groundbreaking, a real pioneer of a lot of really difficult surgeries. So I'm currently writing a song about that. It's called I've Seen Flesh, something about the hidden flesh and knowing it intimately as well, to cut it open but to hide your own flesh. I found something benevolent, and like, how much did they give for their
profession.
Vocation? I think it's incredible.
And you're working with a German orchestra that'll be out or available to hear before Christmas or maybe or after
I'd
Christmas.
Say by summer next
by
year.
By summer of next year. Okay. Yeah. Now, you're playing in Whelan's tonight, and I know that a lot of your friends from Berlin are going to be there, so that's going to make it very special.
Yeah.
Will you be singing this song that you're going to sing for us?
Yeah,
you will?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of taking legs, so that's why we chose this one. Like, we're a high-energy band. It's relentless. But I chose this one because it seems to be something that's reaching out, so it feels right at the moment. Yeah. Will I go for the other one?
Go for both sides now, yes.
I'm going to give this one a crack. It's Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. Great version. Great version of a great song.
Thank you very much.
People are in tears at home. You know, it's Emma Thompson finding out that her husband's doing the dirt on her in Love Actually.
oh my God, that part.
That part.
She's incredible.
And that song will always be linked to that now, won't it?
Oh no, I didn't think about that.
Did you not?
I'm glad I didn't actually. Yeah, right, I wasn't bawling myself.
Hands is the current album. Go is on that. And you're in Whelan's tonight and tomorrow night. And great to see you. And Alma and Cuiva and Leo, thanks for coming in. Wallace Burr, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurama, good Marion. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much. 5 on 5, 5 on RTE. Gorgeous version of Both Sides now. Thanks, Wallace. And Hugh has been on. Stunning is the only word. That was an incredible version of a most beautiful song. And Laura says, went to see Wallace in Kilkenny last week. We're still pumped from it. Fantastic night. She has crazy energy. She'd put anyone in a great mood. We'll go to Berlin to see her now, says Laura. And hello, Ray and Wallace. I had the pleasure of meeting Wallace last May while working on an Aer Lingus flight from Dublin to Berlin. Fabulous person and so talented. Continued success, says Jer. Yeah, it's just a lovely human being, is Wallace Bird, and a great singer and a great talent. Now, Sean has been back onto us. You might remember, Sean, we had the sister who had never eaten cheese and the dog who could speak Irish. Well, Sean was the dog who couldn't speak Irish, not that, you know, he has a dog who could speak Irish. Her name is Sona. And I think I have a recording of Sona here somewhere. Where would I find it now? Here, oh, here it is. Yes. So Roher was what Sean was saying. The dog can say so. Sona, give us your best bicycle there, Oscailge.
Roher, I'm a Roher.
I can't distinguish between the dog and Sean there. Let's see if we can isolate it. Not as impressive as Lorna.
Hello.
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 Hello. Roar. Roar. Ah, yeah. Go on, go on. It's a Friday. I'm feeling generous, so we'll give you that. Now let's get to our quiz. Two quizzers standing by and a great prize, and thanks very much to the people at the wonderful Wineport Lodge this week. We have a two-night stay for two people. Loads of things to do down there, all overlooking Loch Ree, or even Loch Ree from your own balcony. And you can go walking, you can go cycling, you can do yoga, you can go to the spa. There's an indoor-outdoor infinity pool. You can find out more at wineport.ie, wineport.ie. Hello, Rachel Ford.
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Not too bad. You're in Enniscrone.
I sure am. Gorgeous in its grown.
Yes, on the coast, County Sligo. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a lovely, crisp, blue sky, sunny day in Dublin. What is it like in Enniscrone?
It's lovely here, yeah. It's pretty much the same, yeah. Really nice.
Lovely. Yeah. And you're on a farm?
I am on a farm, yeah. I live on a farm.
Does the farm touch the sea?
No.
No,
no, we can see it all right from the house, but...
That's nice,
isn't
it?
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
There's loads of research that suggests that if you can see the sea on a regular basis, it really helps your mental health.
I wouldn't doubt it for a second.
Yeah. Who's at home with you?
Well, there's myself and Declan. Declan is my husband. And then our little boy, Tom. Tom is 4.
Great name, that,
so,
Tom.
I know. We copied you, right?
No, you didn't. Yeah. But it is, no, it's a, you know, it is, it's a strong name, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Hello, my
and
name
is... And he's Tom Ford.
Yeah, that's a really strong name. It's a really strong name. No messing with Tom Ford. Yeah.
No.
And is Tom hasn't started school yet.
Yeah, he's in preschool. So he goes full days, Mondays, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, because I work those days.
Uh-huh.
And then he goes mornings, Thursdays and Fridays.
And he's up in Granny's now, is he?
He's in Granny's at home. Yeah.
Right. That's nice to be close to Granny, isn't it?
It's great.
Yeah.
Granny's just around the corner from us. So
right. And you play basketball?
Well, would you believe Castle Connor, which is the parish I live in, just outside Enniscrone, one of the girls there, Bernie Finley, she set up a basketball thing there about 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So in those 5 weeks, she has about 45 women in the area playing basketball.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So she does. There's two sessions on a Thursday evening and one session on a Friday morning. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just a great outlet and it's great crack. Nobody takes it too seriously.
Yeah,
most of us haven't played since we were in school.
Yeah, brilliant. And it's the connection and all that, as well as the physical activity. So all the good stuff. Tell us a story about when you met Declan. Go on.
Yeah, it was a blind date. Yeah.
Is
a friend of mine knew Declan.
Right.
And she suggested that maybe we'd get on. And I was like, but I wouldn't marry a farmer.
You wouldn't marry a farmer, she said.
I always said, no way, it's too hard. Hard work. But Declan milks cows, so it's, you know, it is tough because obviously you're stuck to the farm mornings and
yes,
evenings.
Yeah.
But, you know, hush, it's a great life. We have a, you know.
So this friend of yours, she said, I know a fella and I think he'd be suited. That's the way it went. Yeah, okay. And you said, what's he like? And she said, he's a farmer. And you said, I'll never marry a farmer. You were
like, going,
you were sort of, you were jumping ahead, weren't you? It was only a date. you were getting married.
No, I've always said all my life, I'd have said I'd never marry a farmer.
Okay,
I'm
okay.
About him.
Okay, there you go. But and here you are on a farm. And then
exactly.
It's growing. Okay, you're up against Stephen Murphy in Ballycullen in Dublin. How are you doing, Stephen?
How are you, Ray?
Where's Ballycullen?
Ballycullen is, it's between, where are we? Between Fairhouse and the Hellfire Club, the foot of the Dublin Mountains.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, I know where you are now, yeah. So you can see the mountains. You're it's a nice part of the world.
It's lovely, yeah. If we couldn't be by the sea, we'd better be beside mountains.
Mountains.
I'd swap it for Enniscrone, I think.
Say again?
I'd swap it for Enniscrone.
Oh, you would? yeah. Amelia and Hannah, what ages are they?
They're 4 and 1.
Right.
4 and a half, actually. I better not forget the half.
It's Tom is 4 and a half as well. That's Rachel's son. Amelia is 4, so Amelia knows about Santa and looking forward and very excited.
Oh, she is indeed, yeah. Absolutely.
And what's the rules?
The letter has been done and sent.
Say again?
The letter has been written and sent.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And what? Oh, yeah. Any rules in your house around Christmas movies?
No, we're going to watch The Force of Milk this evening.
Oh, are you? Right.
That's on the cards. Yeah.
What are you going to go for?
I think Home Alone. She's a big Home Alone fan.
Yeah.
Kevin, so that's probably going to be the go.
Yeah, I see. Elf is always a good one as well.
Elf is in the mix, yeah, but yeah. I think Home Alone now this evening.
Yeah, and then have you got Disney at home?
No, we don't have Disney.
Okay, no, just if you did. Disenchanted is that's... That's Landon Sleeman. Yeah. Now, I shouldn't be supporting Disney after having that interview with Abigail Disney yesterday, but sure, it's difficult to avoid them. Okay, so good luck to you both. You know the rules, 3 questions each. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip, you get 2 points. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. And if the drawing points, we go to a tiebreak question. Here we go. Okay.
Best of luck, Stephen.
Yeah, thank you.
Rachel, to you first then. The year is 1997.
Okay.
25 years ago, and we start at the movies. Would you like a long clip or a short clip?
Short.
Okay, this movie about a janitor that is a gift for Matt's starred Robin Williams, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. Can you name it? Here's your short clip.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm pumped. Let's let the healing begin.
Would you excuse us?
Yeah, please, Tom.
You too, Jerry.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Well...
It's not Goodwill Hunting, is it?
It is Goodwill Hunting. Yes.
Oh.
There you go. It is Goodwill Hunting, and you get 2 points. Well done. Good start. Stephen, so 1997, movies, long or short?
I'll go short, please.
Short again. Okay, this 1997 classic starring Mira Sorvino and Lisa Kudrow saw 2 inseparable friends return to their old school with an elaborate lie to try and impress their classmates. Can you name the movie? Here's your short clip.
Can I tell you the truth? I never knew that we weren't that great in high school. I mean, we always had so much fun together. I thought high school was a blast.
Any ideas?
No.
Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Now, that passed me by as well. Probably because I'm male, I don't know. But there you go. So nothing there for you. You're on 2, Rachel. Second question's on music. Do you want to go long or short?
I go short.
Short. This song was a massive hit in 1997. Can you name the song or the group? Any ideas?
Barbie Girl.
Yes.
Oh.
You know them, but you're not confident about knowing them.
Do you know what? No, I'm not confident at all.
Yeah, but well, it is Aqua, Barbie Girl.
Oh, yeah. Aqua, no. I was going to start singing it. But
yeah. Well, that always helps. That always helps. You're on 4 now. That even puts you under a lot of pressure. You sort of have to go short, don't you?
Yeah.
I do. Indeed.
Yeah, an Irish boy band had this hit in 1997. Can you name them or the song? Short clip. Sorry is all that you can't say. Who's that?
Boyzone.
It is Boyzone. With the Tracy Chapman song, Baby, Can I Hold You? You get 2 points. Now, here's how it lies. You're on 4, Rachel. Stephen, you're on 2. So, Rachel, if you don't get anything from the final question and Stephen goes short and gets it right, we're into a tiebreak situation. However, if you get anything from your final question, Stephen can't catch you. It's news and current affairs from 1997. What would you like to do?
I'll go along.
Okay. In March of 1997, this service became fully automated, ending a 200-year tradition as the eyes and ears of the coast. What was it that came to an end? And here is your long clip by way of a clue.
Like the others, Aidan Polly remembers the bad old days, often with affection. Storms could keep you marooned for weeks beyond your shift.
When you left home, you said, I'll see you when I see you, because you just were at the mercy of the weather.
So,
the lighthouse service?
It was the lighthouse service, yes. So they became fully automated in 1997. You get a point for that, brings you up to 5. Stephen, you can't catch it.
Excellent.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen.
Stephen, we're going to send you out a brand new Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. Yay! Yes. I see you're a site manager, so that's ideal for you.
Exactly, perfect.
Yes. Yeah. And listen, have a great weekend with the family, Aoife and the two girls, Amelia and Hannah, and lovely talking to you.
Will do. Cheers, Ray.
See you, Stephen.
Much.
Bye now. Bye. Rachel Ford.
Thanks so much, Ray. Yeah. Our anniversary is coming up on the 4th of December.
Yes.
That is going to be amazing.
That is amazing because you're going to the wonderful Wineport Lodge. You can go to wineport.ie to see what's in store for you. But it's
I check it out all the time, believe me.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
I've been dying to go there.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. That's great. Well done. Well done, Rachel.
Thank you so much.
Have a great weekend. Lovely talking to you. Bye now.
And yourself. Take care. Have a lovely weekend.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
DJ Jenny Green, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. I can't believe you're doing the electric disco for 15 years.
I know. I think, it's 15, 16. It's something like that. It's kind of mad to think it's been that long.
Yeah. And I was just reading, I see these are the things you don't know until you read a brief about somebody. You think you know a person, but you don't.
Well, I hope it's true now, whatever's there in the brief.
What age did you start DJing at?
15.
15?
Yeah.
Were you the youngest female DJ on radio in Ireland?
I think I was the youngest that was pirate radio, but I went to legal radio at 17, and at that stage I was the youngest DJ on legal radio, male or female, in the country.
And back then, and you're not that old, but back then it was
It
was very much male. It was very much male dominated, wasn't it?
It was all men, really. And to have a female on a radio station was kind of like ticking a box and a bit of a novelty. When you look at the difference now and how far we've come, but it was a kind of a novelty back then.
I've been in meetings, right?
Go on.
These are about 10 years ago.
Dying to hear this.
Where people have actually said, you know, in all seriousness, people don't like women's voices. Research has been done, and even women don't like women's voices on the radio. And this was delivered as if it was a fact.
I think it's about, like, there's loads of voices I don't like, but they could be male or female.
Yeah, I know. But it was ridiculous that somebody was saying that.
I think there is there's definitely kind of a tone that people like, or whatever that may be. But I suppose everything's a preference, isn't it? It's probably like singers. Someone who loves someone who sings, someone else hates them, you know?
And why at 15? Because obviously it was something that you didn't have a role model for because you were a girl.
Yeah.
And was there a history of DJing in the family? That sounds like a doctor's consultation.
There was no history of DJing. And it's funny, I only got into radio because I really wanted to DJ in nightclubs. I never wanted to be on the radio. And I only did it so that I'd get in, make a few contacts and get a gig somewhere, which is exactly what happened.
Yes.
And I ended up staying on radio, but that was never the plan. So it just kind of happened by accident. And thankfully, obviously now, touch wood, it's worked out, because I don't know where I'd be.
Your real home is in a club.
Yeah, definitely. Playing music, really, I think. You know, I'm a DJ as opposed to a presenter.
Yes.
And I love music and I love finding new music and playing it. So I think that's kind of where I always feel at my best. And it's whether it's on the radio or it's in a nightclub, you're still putting music to people.
So you have this room at home.
Mm.
like...
Love this room, don't you? You love it.
I saw pictures of it. So this is, like, I suppose it could be described as a man cave, but you're not a man. But it's you surrounded by your gear.
Yeah.
And during lockdown, what happened?
Well, we had just moved house and it was a very old house and we had this kind of shed that's internal in the house and we decided that that would be the room that we put my decks, which had been in the kitchen in the previous house. And there happened to be a hatch in this room. So we just made the hatch a bit bigger and we were like, now it's a DJ box. Now
we're looking, booth.
So it's a booth looking out onto a dance floor now. And we did that. And I never envisaged that we would be in lockdown quite as long as nobody did.
Nobody did.
So it became like that's where we, the two of us, myself and Kyle, spent every weekend there. And then after a while.
Hold on.
Go on.
So you be there on the decks and Kyle, right, your partner.
Yeah.
Dancing on the dance floor?
She'd be out dancing and singing because, of course, we got mics then as well. Uh-huh. And suddenly
karaoke.
There was like power ballads and everything.
Right.
And we were doing that for ages. And then it just, you know, it got a bit lonely after a while. And you're like, we need to see people or we need to whatever. And I was doing the electric disco on the radio at the time from home because we weren't allowed to come in. And then we were talking one night and we said, why don't we actually stream this? It's coming from the Rave Cave. We'll do it on the radio and we'll stream it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we were getting like 10, 11,000 people a night when we did it. And everybody was messaging in on YouTube, saying hello to each other. And I've never felt so connected to people and yet been so far away from them. So it kind of, and it gave us so much as well. And it was just a little outlet every week.
See, the brilliant, I was even looking at the paper today. There was a JLB or JBL party box, you know, and they can be as loud now as nearly a nightclub, can't they? And people are buying them in Harvey Normans or Currys or DID.
I remember during lockdown, everybody was buying these. It was a kid's toy and we bought one as well. They were nearly impossible to get. They were only about €15 and it was a disco light and it was for kids and we had to order it from like the UK. Yes. We couldn't get it here. But everybody was doing them, making kitchen discos at home.
Yeah, and because the sound is there now. Okay, so this has gone from the electric disco, then it was on YouTube, and now it's coming to Vicar Street, December 21st. It's a disco, really, isn't it? You're doing a rave or a disco.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping, like the idea was, let's bring the actual Rave Cave kind of from the house visually onto a stage and bring people in. And then this time, it's not just the two of us, you know, it's everyone with us as well. So it was kind of an idea a while ago and it's grown legs and now it's, I kind of can't believe it's happening.
Can I suggest?
Of course you can.
Can I suggest that this would be the perfect work night out?
Oh, definitely.
Like, because, you know, you mightn't be able to get a restaurant or you mightn't be able to afford it. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis. Why not just bring everyone along to...
And the other thing is, a lot of people are like, oh, it's on a Wednesday. But I will say to people, this is actually, we're in Vicar Street. Vicar Street closes at midnight. We're starting...
It's the 21st November. Did I say December? 21st November, yes.
Or December. No, it isn't December.
Oh, it is December.
So it's
right,
Christmas week. Sorry.
It's Christmas week.
But doors are opening at 7. Gig starts bang on 8. We run till midnight. So, I mean, it's not like you're going to be out till 4 in the morning. If you are, it's your own fault.
But people are winding down at the 21st of December. Now, you know, you're going to be playing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be no cheese there, or will there be a bit
there'll
of cheese?
There'll be no cheese now. And to be honest, it's not like, you know, it's not a 90s night either. It's the stuff really that I would play on the electric disco on Saturday night.
So you won't be playing this? Would you be playing that?
I probably won't, but it is a tune, though.
Yeah. Right. Will you be playing this?
Probably not.
No, you won't play. No. Oh, God.
Do you know what we should do? Do you want to do the warm up and you can play them?
I warm up for you.
Wouldn't that be a gig?
I warm up.
Wouldn't that be a gig? Oh no, sorry, I forgot. No, it should be the other way around.
Because I haven't DJed in it. I'd be so nervous.
It doesn't put other people off, trust me.
Well, if I could play that sort of stuff.
Oh, of course you can, yeah. So we're opening at 7. The gig's not starting till 8. So why don't you go on at 7?
All right. I'm play it to myself.
Yeah,
thank you very much for that offer.
Get people in the mood.
You've painted such a lovely offer there. So I go into Vicar Street on my own, play a few tunes for myself, and then people come in at 8 o'clock and you entertain them. Is that the way it's going
to
go?
They'll be getting a few drinks, though, and listening to your rave, you know?
Okay, let's see. I'm nearly there. How about this one? Keep the beast
in my nature under. Do you know what that is, a tune, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So you will be playing that?
I don't know if I will or not, but I do play that with the orchestra, and it's always kind of been one of our big ones.
Right, this one.
That's kind of, it never fails, does it?
You play that one, okay, yeah. Okay.
It's a good one.
And this one.
Robert Miles. It's one of those songs, it nearly doesn't age, sure it doesn't.
Do you know what I'm interested to know? Because back when I was doing, you know, whatever was happening, at the end of the night you had a couple of ones that you went to.
Yeah.
You know, that were guaranteed and they were a bit cheesy.
Yeah.
And you sent people home smiling and singing.
Yeah.
What are those tunes now? Or do you have them?
You do still have them.
You don't do New York, New York by Frank Sinatra.
I don't do New York, no.
You don't do the Birdie song. You don't know any of those, no.
I'm missing a trick here, I think.
What about Come On Eileen?
Come on, stop now.
No, you have to do Sweet Caroline.
You have to do Sweet, exactly.
Hands, touching hands.
No. Either that or like, you know, I don't know, a bit of Riverdance or something That's what you need.
But you don't do any of that.
I've never done Riverdance and I debated it one night. I was like, would this be the best crack ever? And I bottled it last minute. I was like, I'm too nervous.
Is there a dance remix of Riverdance?
I don't think there is, but to be honest, it's the intro to that. It's the Inuna intro that I would hate to ruin because that is the best bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've yet to do it. But you never know. One of these days, I might get brave enough.
So you're not playing any of those songs. So if you don't want to hear any of those songs, people know what you do. We're just having a laugh. So it's December 21st, Jenny Green's The Rave Cave, live at Vicar Street, mm-hmm. ideal for Christmas parties and work dues. There you go. You can't do better than that.
Will you be joining us?
For the warm-up. We'll see. We'll see. I have a little thing at home now. Yours dwarfs mine. I have a little, it's like a toy. But it, you know, it does me, and I go in every so often, and I mix up little things, and yeah, you know,
it's nice. A nice thing to do, and it's a lovely hobby. And I've, unfortunately for me, because it's now my job, I don't have a hobby, so it's you kind of
have to get your hobby.
Would you find me a hobby?
Knitting,
Ray? Anything? I'll do anything if you find me a hobby. Maybe that next week on the show.
Do you do weddings?
I don't do weddings. Thank God. I don't think anyone would enjoy that.
I'll just leave you with this because years ago, Dustin and I were interviewing the Chemical Brothers.
Oh wow!
At Fela. And that's what Dustin asked them. Do you do weddings? They weren't too happy now.
Were they not?
Oh, no.
Come on.
I think they left their sense of humour on the field.
That's not good.
Jenny, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming
Thanks for having me.
And I will consider supporting you at Vicar Street on December 21st.
I'll get my people to talk to your people. Yeah.
That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way. We are back on Monday. Have a brilliant weekend.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.